Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Stephen, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. Let's get you involved in this argument. And so Bill Barnwell has an interesting article ranking from 1 through 32, the offensive weapons for the all the NFL teams, and you do not take into account the quarterback or the coach or the offensive line, just the weapons. And he has the Chiefs ranked at number one, which Jake and Nate and I all agreed with. But then he had the Cleveland Browns ranked number two, which Jake correctly predicted, but Nate is resistant to. Who would you say has the best weapons when you factor in running backs, receivers, and tight ends in the NFL? Do you agree with the Chiefs being number one? And if so, who do you think is number two?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with the Chiefs being number one. I don't think there's any doubt there. Across the board, I mean, every position except for, you say, running back. I mean, I think they've got one of the best in the league, and running back's not that bad of shape. So, I mean, when I think about that, the team that jumps out immediately to me is the Cowboys, just because they're so strong at running back. They've got an elite number one receiver. I don't think that they're bad at the other spots either. So that's probably the team that jumps out to me. I would think of them before I thought of the Browns, but I get why the Browns are up there. But yeah, I would think that. I mean, Tampa Bay, I guess now you'd put that category too. But those would be the ones I think that jump out to me.
You're right there. He has number two being the Cleveland Browns, number three being the Dallas Cowboys, and then number four he does have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then after that, for people that are interested, I think a surprise, number five, Carolina, number six, the Saints, number seven, the Giants, number eight, the Bills, number nine, the Cardinals, and then number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles. And so that's how he ranks the weapons, the offensive weapons for all of the NFL teams, with, of course, the Chiefs being ranked number one. And so while we're on the topic of the Kansas City Chiefs, a lot of talk about Chris Jones as we get closer to the deadline, which is tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central. Will anything happen between now and then, Matt Derrick?
I mean, I still think it's just too much of a bridge to gap between these two sides. I mean, we've got the reports that they've been talking, at least, which is something that hasn't happened for a long time. But, you know, I think both these sides have been in pretty much the same spot for the last 18 months about what their demands are and what they're looking for. There's nothing's changed. I mean, both sides know what the other one wants. And unless there's significant movement on one or both sides, I just see it getting really hard to get done. And, you know, as with some of the vague tweeting that Chris Jones has done over the past week or two, I think kind of underscores that there's just a too big of a gap between these two sides.
How much would you pay for an antique watch?
You know what? I guess I would probably be in that $5 category. I don't know a whole lot about watches. So, I'd probably be the same one. Chris Jones brought me his antique watch. I'd probably say, I'd give you $5.
Did you enjoy that story that Chris Jones tweeted out for people that don't know?
I had heard that story before, so, you know, it's a good one. And, hey, I guess if it's a situation, so well played by Chris Jones.
What did you think after you read that? Like, there's no way. This thing's over.
Yeah, I mean, it always, you know, maybe there's only can be taken two ways, but no, I mean, especially the ending of it. Yeah, I mean, and it's not the first time in the last couple of weeks that he's made some references like this. So, yeah, no, I mean, I took it kind of, I think, sounds like the same way you guys have, is that, nope, I don't think it's getting done.
Is it like oversimplifying things to try to look at the timeline and say, okay, he's in town Friday for the autograph signing, he's got an agent with him, And then there's a report that the Chiefs, Chris Jones, started talking again. So maybe he's in town and they talk. He, again, it's reestablished what he wants. And again, it's reestablished what they're offering. And it's not close. And that leads him to tweet out that story.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a little bit of a, you know, coincidental timing. I mean, yeah, I think the autograph signing and the contract are probably two separate things. But, you know, I mean, deadlines make deals. So I think the expectation has been all along that if these two sides were going to get together, it was going to be at the last minute. And we've kind of seen that. And I think the other thing, too, is that there are multiple ways that, you know, an agreement could be reached by Wednesday. And a long-term deal is just one of them. I mean, there are other options that where these two sides could agree, which is, you know, something along the lines of, hey, Chris Jones will report to camp, but, you know, if he does and he plays the season, you know, the Chiefs maybe will have a handshake agreement that they won't tag him again. You know, there are other ways that they could get it done. And, you know, and even like you saw in Baltimore, I mean, you saw a franchise deal that was done with their edge rusher, which was the split difference on what the cost would have been between like an outside linebacker tag and defensive end tag. So, you know, there are other ways for a deal to get done between these two sides other than just a long-term deal.
So maybe for our audience that is not super active.
Do we have the dramatic reading music? Can we get that?
Yeah.
I'll read this for Matt Derrick, but I didn't want to pull a Nate and tell Jake to get this, and he has no possibility, but I'll read it anyway if there's no music. Maybe Nate can hum.
Dun, dun. Here you go.
Oh, look at this guy. Look at you and the way you've evolved over the past 30 minutes.
Dude, I'm getting comfy. I'm getting comfy. I'm getting
don't ever get
in.
Comfortable.
I'm
Matt, sit
in.
Back in your rocking chair and enjoy some hot cocoa or something, and I'll read this to you, and we'll see if this. Now, this was tweeted out by Chris Jones, and he just tweeted, "Good read," with an exclamation point. A father, before he died, said to his son, "This is the watch your grandfather gave me, and this is more than 200 years old. Before I give it to you, go to the watch shop on the first street and tell him I want to sell it and ask how much they offer." The son went, and after several minutes, he came back to his father and said, "The watchmaker offers to pay $5 because it's old and has a lot of scratches." He then asked him to go to the coffee shop. The son went, and after an hour or so, he came back and said, "The coffee shop owner offers $5, father." "Go to the museum and show that watch." He went ahead and then came back happily. "They offered me $1 million for this piece." The father said, "I wanted to let you know that the right place values your value in a way right. Don't put yourself in the wrong place and get angry if you get treated like trash. Those who knows your value are the ones who appreciates you. Don't ever stay in a place that doesn't suit you. Know your worth." Now, I read that verbatim. There was perhaps some spots in there that weren't totally grammatically correct, but that's fine.
The last sentence,
Matt Derrick, yeah, what's that?
Of the father is the part that you go, okay, don't ever stay in a place that doesn't suit you. That's the like the last sentence.
Right.
Hmm.
Matt Derrick.
I love Stephen St. John's dramatic readings.
Don't you?
Those are fantastic. Yeah,
is Chris Jones being treated like trash?
He's sure leaving the impression that he is, and you know, and hey, I mean, I don't think the Chiefs are necessarily treating him that way, but I could see that. You know what? If you think that you're worth 20 or 21 million a year, and you're not being offered anywhere close to that, I'd feel insulted. I mean, I feel insulted if people, you know, trying to give me a lot less for something that I think I'm worth. So I think there's definitely that aspect of it. But, you know, I still go back to Brett Veach, you know, right after the Patrick Mahomes signing, where I kind of felt like maybe he was speaking without really intending to, when he just said, you can't let free agents get to the last year of their contract and let it get into franchise tags because it gets contentious. And that certainly seems to be where these two sides are.
Well, he thinks he's worth $20 million a year. Does the league think he is worth $20 million a year? Because I always felt like, Matt, that the best, most realistic possibility for the Chiefs to have a positive outcome in this situation would actually be for them to trade him to somebody that can afford, because they might think he's worth $20 million a year, but sometimes you think somebody's worth it, you just don't have the money. There's a lot of things in life that I think are worth the money, but I don't have the money, so I can't buy it. The Chiefs might think he's worth $20 million, but if they don't have it in the salary cap, they can't have him. So if they can trade him and get some good draft pick capital in exchange, then somebody else can actually pay the money. That would be great. But it doesn't appear that anybody wanted to make that move. It doesn't appear that anybody wanted to give up draft picks and then pay him the $20 million a year that he wants. So is he really worth what he thinks he's worth?
I mean, that's the magical question, because, and I don't know if we fully know the answer to that, because this offseason was weird. I mean, you know, we saw that teams were just not interested in giving up long-term deals, and certainly no one was interested in giving up draft assets to then give out a long-term deal. So that may have affected a little bit of Chris Jones's value, but at the same time, I mean, that means that's what his value is. So if you've got a salary cap that's in question for 2021 and the Chiefs, we know, don't have a lot of room for next year as it is, you know, if you throw that doubt into it, and yeah, that's what makes it harder. I mean, the Chiefs are built to squeeze in Chris Jones for 1 year, but cap-wise, they're really not built to do anything beyond that. And when it comes to other teams, yeah, I mean, the same questions are out there. And really, since like maybe March 18th, no NFL team other than the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes have given out anything that's a true deal of more than 1 year. I mean, everything else has had 1 year out. So that's what, you know, I think really complicated it. I go back to the 2018. I mean, I think that the Chiefs and Chris Jones probably would have gotten a deal done after 2018 if Chris Jones doesn't go out and get 15 and a half sacks and plants the seed that he can be a $20 million guy. I think the Chiefs would have gladly signed him at a more affordable price after 2018. And they certainly offered him that. But, you know, you get your mindset about what your value is, and if the Chiefs don't value that way, we'll find out, because I think he'll be a free agent next year, and we'll see if anybody offers him that. I think you're right, though. I mean, with the implication, I mean, I don't know that there is a team out there that values him that way.
Okay. How do you value him? Is $20 million a year in that rarefied air, is that too much for Chris Jones? I mean, we listened to Bill Barnwell on the program with Soren Petro talk about how effective the Chiefs' defense has been when Chris Jones wasn't on the field. And to be fair, we all talk about how great he was in the Super Bowl, and he was. He made big plays down the stretch and help them win a championship. But to be fair on both sides, they did win a playoff game without him against the Houston Texans. And even though they were down 24-0, they won that game very comfortably. And so you've got ammunition there on both sides of the argument. But just in your opinion about Chris Jones, is he worth that money?
I mean, when it comes down to it, I would probably say no for pretty much the reasons you kind of articulated there, which is that the numbers tell you that, you know, that the Chiefs aren't necessarily a whole lot better with Chris Jones on the field, that the numbers are inconsistent. He's got some really good numbers, and he's got some other numbers that tell you that, you know, maybe he's not the strongest at certain spots. And against the run, there's been an argument there. But then you look at the eye test, and, you know, Chris Jones is a specimen. I mean, he makes plays. He makes flashy plays. And I fit in that category. I've said it, you know, since the Super Bowl. I don't think the Chiefs win that Super Bowl without Chris Jones making a handful of plays. And even though he didn't have the numbers, you know, he didn't have the sacks, wasn't anything like that, he just affected enough plays that in key moments that helped them win. And that's kind of been him as a Chief. I mean, it, yeah, like I said, the numbers have always been inconsistent. But, you know, you look at him on the field and you just see the flashy big plays because he's a playmaker.
Matt Derrick is our guest. And, Matt, we heard a soundbite from Adam Schefter before the segment started about the CBA negotiation. Well, not CBA, but I guess the return to play negotiations between the NFLPA and the NFL. And one of the things that Adam mentioned there and tweeted out yesterday is that the Chiefs are expected and scheduled to have rookies report on Saturday, I believe it is, this week, and yet we have no clearance from the league yet. How optimistic are you that when Saturday rolls around, we'll actually have rookies in camp for the Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, I'm not terribly optimistic, and I think I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, I mean, I think there's like 39 steps that the league has to get to before players will get on the field. And then I thought they were on maybe step three. And frankly, right now, they're probably only like at step four or five. There hasn't been a lot of progress made. And they appear to be far apart on some really major issues. And here we are, you know, on July 14th, and we have some vague outlines about what the expectations are about how practices might go and the access to the buildings and, you know, what groups people will be grouped into. But we don't have protocols on testing. There aren't any of the firm details. We've got both sides apparently arguing over money. I mean, it sounds a lot like Major League Baseball. And my fear all along has been that, you know, it's going to be these big issues that throw a wrench into things at the last minute and slow things down. And right now, I mean, I think there's a real prospect of that happening.
Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, thank you very much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
Steve, Nate, Jake, thank you very much, too.
Oh, let's see. You mentioned everybody. You mentioned Jake. I don't know about that. I don't think that's necessary, but whatever.
Sure it is. The way Jake got that dramatic reading music ready to go. MVP of the show right there.
We need to keep him lean and hungry. We don't need him to be. We don't need anyone giving him any.
Yeah, he said he did concern me. He said, I'm starting to get comfortable in here. Because that's when we start having problems. You want him on his toes. You don't want him comfortable. You don't want Pounders just comfortable.
I'll make myself comfortable. You don't worry about that.
On that note, let's
he's out
take
there
a
hunting
break.
For Chubb.
Yeah, that's right. You were so enthusiastic about that. I want that. I want that cut up by the end of the show. I'd like to play that for Nick Leckie and just get his response. Like, hey, Nick, this happened earlier on the show. What do you think? How do you react to this? We'll find out how comfortable Jake is. Back after this on WHB.